We rise. Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and who washed us from our own sins with his blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To him be glory and dominion now and forever. It is certain. We read our text, which comes from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 38. Now John answered him, that is Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me, for he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." This is God's word. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. During the 3 years I went to seminary, I worked a job as a medical transport for residents that lived in the nursing home. If you've ever cared for an elderly person, a parent or a grandparent, you know the importance of removing any little obstacle that could stand in the way of someone who has trouble walking. In Wisconsin, there was even a law that said if it was a violation if any crack would be larger than 1 inch off the ground to pose a tripping hazard. Paths must be clear and smooth. The word translated stumble in verse 42 and throughout our text here has that basic sense of setting a trap, laying before someone a spiritual obstacle. It would be better for you to be drowned in the depths of the sea than to create some obstacle that someone is going to spiritually stumble over. Whatever or whoever would lay that obstacle, it'd be better they were cut off, or it was cut off. Clear the path. Remove the obstructions. We are set free from stumbling to serve our Savior. Working in a nursing home, there were always some who insisted on doing things their own way. Even though they didn't have the strength to walk or use a walker, they were still determined to try on their own. And even though they knew they needed help, there was just something getting in the way of them admitting it. Sometimes what stands in opposition is not the cracks in the sidewalk or the cords that are left out on the floor, but it's something inside of us. Verse 38, "Now John answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us.'" The verses that lead up to this set the stage we find the disciples on a journey, and they're disputing greatness. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? That's the question that leads into our text. On more than one occasion, the disciples struggled with this, and we do too. How often our culture is colored by greatness. This last week, when I was gone at pastor conference, we took a field trip to the College Football Hall of Fame. And there you saw names like Jim Thorpe, Archie Manning, all those great ones who had gotten a place of honor. But you never saw the players and teams that needed to be beat so that these players and coaches could make the Hall of Fame. Jesus responds to his disciples just prior to our text, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." As Jesus says this, John is here thinking of how the disciples forbid this man from casting out demons. He was not an apostle. He was not of their group. John says, because he does not follow us, meaning he wasn't of them. They didn't know him. The issue of greatness was at stake. If just anyone can do a gospel work in Jesus' name, then what's so special about being an apostle? They were supposed to be the privileged ones. It seems that they were trusting in their own greatness. Pride and jealousy was an obstacle. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot, cut it off. If your eye, poke it out. Why aren't so many of us walking around with only one leg, or one hand, or one eye? The mainstream teaching of the religious leaders at Jesus' time was merely external. They were concerned with the outward look of things and not what's inside. Yet Jesus' ministry was to search within. What are the real obstacles that cause us to stumble? What's directing your hand to take something that it shouldn't? Or your foot to be stuck out when some student's walking down the aisle making him trip and fall so everyone will laugh? Or your eye being directed to look at something and dwell on something that you know is sinful? Verse 43 says, "It is better to enter life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." The question is, at what point are we so attached to ourselves or to some sin that we're willing to be drugged with it all the way to eternal separation from God? It is Jesus alone who can set us free from these obstacles. Without that word of God visiting us and the Spirit entering into our hearts, we would be left with two sinful hands, two crooked feet, and two eyes that are blind. We'd be left with one sinful heart that leaves us spiritual stumblers. Jesus removes these obstacles by taking your pride, the sins you've committed, onto his own shoulders, to himself, to the cross. He has cut off those sins we cling to, chopped them right at the root, so that we do indeed enter the kingdom of God lame. We limp in, realizing how we can't live up to greatness. It's not ours to achieve, it's Christ to give. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus has set you free from that greatness craving. To be last of all, he has put you first. That's why Paul writes in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who for your sake humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Free from stumbling, we now receive these gifts of God that come through faith. We serve our Savior in humility. The essence of my job as a medical transport service was to bring the resident from home to the medical care they need and then back home safely. It was to assure that no obstacles would get in the way. Not bad drivers, not tripping hazards. There are many obstacles that confront our gospel ministry. God needs to get sinners from the place of stumbling to the medical care they need and then back home to be with him forever in heaven. Think of all the things that can get in the way of the gospel. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is not on our side." It's not about who, but about what. The issue what the apostles were struggling with was, could somebody outside of their group of 12 men be performing gospel works? It's as if this other person was thought of as a lesser Christian. The point Jesus makes is that when it comes to those works of the gospel, we should not be concerned with who, but with what is being done. The work of the gospel can be done by a small child, can be done by an elderly person that I visit in the nursing home. It can be done by the least of us. The word is what matters. The word is effective. As Jesus said, "My word will not return to me void." So whether within our congregation, outside of our congregation, outside of the CLC, outside of Lutheranism, it is the word of the gospel, when it is sounded, that is at work. The credit goes not to you or me, but to Christ. On the other hand, there are those who represent Christ's name and yet soon afterward do speak evil. Jesus said, "He who is not against us is on our side." That is true. And he also said, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad," in Matthew chapter 12. The opposite. Any teaching that attacks the gospel or undermines the truth of God's word creates obstacles to the gospel, because there is not one word in the Bible that is not tied to what Jesus has done to save us. Only the word can set us free. We are all little ones when it comes to faith and faithfulness to God's word. Getting sinners to their doctor's appointment safely is our job. Or maybe even more so, bringing the great physician to sinners. Only the grace of God will remove these obstacles among us so that that gospel can shine forth, and the little ones, every one of us, is set free. If you've ever been in a nursing home, you see how those smallest hazards can cause great difficulty, can pose a great danger. And it's often someone's carelessness that just leaves these things unattended. Peace is the absence of obstacles among us, among our relationships with one another. And it's carelessness that leaves those things to divide us. As the apostles saw it, this miracle worker they speak of was relatively unproven. He wasn't high in the chain of command. He wasn't an apostle. To do as they did and look at the ministry of the gospel as only something reserved for the clergy, to look at interpreting the Bible as only something left for the well-trained theologian, is to bring divisions. to have it be a hierarchy. There is no chain of command, as Paul says in Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one. Verse 41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. The least of all services, giving a cup of water to a child, to a little one, whoever that might be, because they belong to Christ, is the greatest of all services. As soon as we think one good deed is greater than another, my idea is greater than yours, the carpet should be red, this music is better than that music, this is the way we've always done it, we're setting up obstacles. We read verse 42, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better that they were drowned. Maybe we do know the right answer. Maybe we do have more experience. Maybe the other person is dead wrong about how they're applying God's word to their life. But how often do we tear down those obstacles only because we want to build ourselves up? Romans 14 says, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which build up. Christ has won us back from ourselves so that we're in this together. The smallest tripping hazard left unattended can bring all of us down. Verse 49, for everyone will be seasoned with fire and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Jesus uses an Old Testament reference here from the book of Leviticus, chapter 2. And it's in that ceremonial law in Leviticus that the Old Testament Israelite was instructed to offer a grain sacrifice, a memorial to the Lord to remember all the great works that he's done to give him of the gifts he's given to us. And in that, we read, the priest shall offer a memorial and burn it on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And no offering shall be made without being sprinkled with seasoning. Every offering to be seasoned with salt is that sweet-smelling aroma. Our seasoned sacrifice is peace among us. Verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Our flesh will always want to let disputes come between us. Our flesh will never want to submit to someone else's opinion. And our flesh will always want a reason why I'm right and my spouse is wrong. My sibling, my friend, my coworker is wrong. These are the obstacles that will show up day by day. But as Paul writes, walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sweet-smelling aroma. Christ is the salt that seasons our sacrifice. Christ removes these obstacles as we join in what he's given us and not in what we have to offer. His presence among us through the forgiveness of sins breaks down all these barriers, removes all the obstacles as we share peace. Jesus said, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give my peace to you. Our weaknesses will always leave us elderly residents of a nursing home. We need aid. Visit the gospel care that we need so desperately. The aid of Christ, removing all these obstacles. Let the love of Christ set us free from the obstacles of jealousy and pride, from the obstacles we pose to the gospel, and from the obstacles of selfishness that would create divisions among us. We are set free to serve our Savior. Amen. We rise.